This is Zay Flowers, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome to the Week 5 Fantasy Football Preview Show. Solo today, no Alex Dunlap as he is celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, Alex. And in the woods, trying to get himself a little access action this weekend. So I'm handling the duties on the show today, this Friday, this beautiful Friday, October 3rd of 2025. And I guess the first place I'm going to start here is just the running back position. I've talked about the injuries on the Top 10 Thoughts show on Mondays over the last couple of weeks on the YouTube channel and on podcasts, where you can click like, you can click subscribe, you can drop 5 stars, you can drop comments, you can do the thing, and we'll talk to you and continue to give you awesome free content on all those services, as well as going over to rosterwatch.com, becoming a pro or a premium member. But I've talked about the running backs, and this week feels like it has all come crumbling down. Like, we've had the James Conner injury, we've had the Najee Harris, we've had the Austin Eckler the last couple of weeks, but it sort of feels like the last 6 days it's been just like crumbling down on us. Injuries, injury, injury. This guy's down, this guy's down, this guy's down at the running back position. And it, honestly, like, it's happened before and after like waiver wire situations this week. And I think it's pretty bizarre to just look at the landscape of running backs right now in the NFL. So if I pull up the current injury report, this week we've lost Braylon Allen to the IR with a knee injury. Tyler Goodson still banged up for the Colts. Chuba Hubbard is now a double DNP this week. Looks like he's out. They've talked about him being out this weekend. Mike Kay from the Observer in Charlotte has said that's going to be Rico Dowdle on early downs. We're going to get some Trevor Etienne on third downs and in pass catching situations. Bucky Irving's got this foot sprain situation that's come up kind of late, interestingly enough. Came through late. Looks like Rashad White, Sean Tucker, Miles Sanders is dealing with an ankle injury. Tyron Chasey, of course, is out. And Tyzer Spears should be back. He's limited right now, but he should be back. Bashel Tootin popped up on Thursday with a limited practice with a shoulder injury. I feel like I'm missing another one. Like, there's been so many injuries at the position. Nick Chubb's cooked. I mean, we know that. Who else am I missing on here? The Charbonnet situation we talked about before. It feels like, though, like there's just more and more and more and more unfolding in front of us at the running back position with injuries. And that's opening up opportunities for, like I said, Sean Tucker, Rashad White. Jaden Blue should be active this week for the first time with Dallas. Trevor Etienne, Rico Dowdle, which one of those guys has the juice? Isaiah Davis with the Jets. You look at New York with Cam Scadaboo. He popped up on the injury report, but he got full practices in. No Tyrone Tracy. Does that mean Devin Singletary should get a little bit of a bump? Is he a back end RB4 this week? We'll talk about it. Pollard's banged up. Spears is on his way back. Mullings is on IR. Tennessee stinks. Bashel Tootin's banged up. Does that mean we get more LaQuint Allen? Like, it's just the whole landscape of the running back position outside of already having, you know, no James Conner, no Trey Benson, who the Trey Benson situation this week feels like it's been, I mean, it feels like we haven't seen them play in 10 days because we literally haven't. They played last Thursday, and that injury didn't come to fruition until early this week. That feels like that should have came through on like Sunday or Monday. Benson hits the IR, so now we got a Michael Carter, Imari DiMercato situation with a deep Bam Knight, potential Dearness Johnson type of, like, it's just maniacal. And there's a lot of healthy backs for sure, but also healthy backs with completely inept offenses or banged up offensive lines. Like, you look at Baltimore and 25% of the rosters on the injury report. Or Minnesota, where 3 of their 5 offensive linemen are banged up and potentially out in this game, and that impacts Jordan Mason. We'll talk about all of it today on the Fantasy Football Preview Show. But like I said, please Become a pro or premium member over at rosterwatch.com after you click that like and subscribe button as we close in on 40,000 here on YouTube. We appreciate and love all of y'all for helping us get to this point in the build of rosterwatch.com. Last week, our props were phenomenal on the player prop cheat sheet over at rosterwatch.com. We always get the props up as soon as possible during the week. We added a couple on Tuesday, added a couple more on Wednesday, added two on Thursday, and it looks like Trashman's continuing to add a couple today. So the picks are adding day over day over day every week. We don't just come in here on a Friday or Saturday, drop the props. We're putting in the props at the most advantageous point of the week. So you see a David Montgomery number in there. You see a Javonte Williams number in there. And you see a Mecca Buka number in there. And then you come back 3 days later if you don't check it on Tuesday and Wednesday. And you're like, why is this number 9 yards lower than it was? Why is this number wrong? You go, well, it's not wrong. We just got it as soon as it dropped, and we jumped on it. And that's what we do at rosterwatch.com. Take advantage of the values. And that came to fruition last week with an 11-4, 73% week. It's our second week over 60%, first week over 70% this year as we continue to build. Last year, we were 6 weeks on the season. We were over 70%. 12 of 17 weeks, we were over 60% in props over rosterwatch.com in the premium section. Make sure you go check it out. Do not want to miss out on all those props that we use from Underdog to Prize Picks to FanDuel to DraftKings across all of the platforms. All right, let's talk about a couple of games. I'll be back on Sunday morning, bright and early, just like last week for the start sit show before Vikings Browns. Last week it was Vikings Steelers that kicked off at that 9:30 Eastern time window. So I'll probably go live somewhere around 8:45 to 8:55 whenever I can get my wife out of the room because my office is in the room. And we'll go live at 8:45, 8:55 a.m. Eastern time. We'll go live for about 35 to 45 minutes up until kickoff of that Browns-Vikings game. Get all the questions answered, as well as you can drop them on the site for 4 or 5 hours on Sunday morning. They will get answered. All the questions will get answered on the website on Sunday morning on that start sit thread. You have to be in the start sit thread, though. All right, here we go. Couple of games I want to jump into right off the bat. Let's talk about that Viking-Brown game really quickly, just because some of you won't want to wake up for that crack of dawn show. Vikings favored by 3.5 points right now over at Caesars. You can get 4.5 on the dog side for the Cleveland Browns, who are traveling over to Europe this week. The Vikings have been in Europe. They were in Dublin last week. They'll be in London this week. And the total in this game is a miserable 35.5, 36.5. 44% of the money is on the Vikings. 56% is on the Cleveland Browns. 47% of the bets, 53% of the bets, 47% of the bets on the Minnesota Vikings, 53% on the Cleveland Browns. Most notably in this game, it has to be the Vikings offensive line. The Vikings offensive line has been completely banged up this week, and they're sitting over there relaxing, trying to just get healthy and play. And obviously, you guys know I've followed the Vikings closest throughout my career, my life, because I'm from Minnesota. So I follow all the local beat guys over there, and they're all, you know, they're practicing over there in the rain and in the mud and yada, yada, yada. It doesn't look promising for a lot of guys in this game, a lot of very talented, important pieces to this Vikings offense. Ryan Kelly, most notably, still going through concussion protocol, has not practiced yet this week. He's the center that they got from the Indianapolis Colts, and he's the sixth, according to ESPN, in the ESPN analytic group, he is the number 7 interior offensive lineman in run block win rate in the NFL so far this year. He's a very important piece of this Vikings offensive line because they went out and got him for a reason. They had Garrett Bradbury last year. They have Brian O'Neill, who's dealing with an MCL issue that happened last week. He's out. Donovan Jackson, their rookie left guard, he's out. Michael Juergens, their backup center, is banged up with a hamstring injury. They have Christian Darrisaw, their all-pro left tackle, but everything else on this offensive line is banged up. Darrisaw didn't even practice on Wednesday and Thursday for non-injury related issues. I don't know really what's going on with that. I mean, they're all over there in London, but this offensive line is in shambles right now. You also have the two edge rushers, two of three edge rushers. Obviously, Grenard is there, but Dallas Turner is sick. Andrew Van Ginkel still dealing with a neck injury. He did not practice. This whole thing is sticky with the Vikings right now outside of Jordan Mason. And we've seen the wide receiver position, what that's done to the likes of Justin Jefferson from a fantasy scoring perspective. I know we all want to put him in the top five and talk about him as this number one receiver in the sport, which I believe he is. But from a pound-for-pound, PPR for PPR, target-for-target perspective, he's not in that conversation right now. Right now, like, that top conversation is Puka, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You can even dabble maybe Garrett Wilson into that thing a little bit. Quentin Johnson, to a certain extent, almost averaging 20 PPR points per game right now, almost 10 targets. And then you get down to the Jamar Chase, the George Pickens, the Jackson Smith and Jigbas. Then you got to drop down another tier down to the 7-target guys and the 15 and 14 fantasy point per game guys, which is Jefferson, Nico, Devontae Adams. Like, he's in that group right now. He's two tiers below where he is when this offense is running and humming at full tilt. We also got Jordan Addison back last week, who took in 8 targets and 15 fantasy points. So I think that does a lot to this room. You look at it from a matchups perspective over rosterwatch.com using the Rosterwatch Ultimate Matchup Tool, and it's very middling for the Vikings here. The Cleveland Browns defense is a 21st ranked matchup for quarterbacks, 27th, so it's bottom five against running backs, so it's not the best day in the ballpark for Jordan Mason. The wide receivers is the best group. But we're not the most bullish on these guys because last week Carson Wentz showed his ineptitude against a pass rush that hadn't hit yet this year in Pittsburgh. And we took the number. I'll give you a free prop. One of the 15 props we got this week is Miles Garrett, over 0.75 sacks. Why? Because this offensive line is battered. And because Carson Wentz has shown that he can't move around the pocket very good, better than Kirk Cousins once was, but definitely not as elusive as a prime, healthy J.J. McCarthy is, as far as comparing in that offense. Bottom 10 ranked matchup for tight ends as well in this game. On the Cleveland side of the conversation, again, it sounds like we're going to have Dylan Gabriel making his NFL debut against Brian Flores. Flores is 4-0 against rookie quarterbacks during his tenure with the Minnesota Vikings. As far as the injury front goes, not really a lot of big injuries to worry about right now. They do have some offensive line issues to look at. Joel Bitonio got a full practice in on Thursday. He had a non-injury limited on Wednesday. Jack Conklin, their offensive tackle, 2 limited practices in this week with an elbow injury. Expect him to play. And then Miles Garrett did not practice on Wednesday with an ankle, but got limited in on Thursday. Expect Miles Garrett to play. The other notable one is David Njoku, who was limited on Wednesday, but got a full practice in on Thursday. So all things should be A1 steak sauce for David Njoku. It's a bottom 7 matchup for the quarterback position, bottom 5 matchup for the wide receiver position. As far as running backs and tight ends for the Cleveland Browns, again, better matchup for running backs than it is for tight ends, but it's fine for tight ends. It's respectable. Where we all have the Cleveland Brown tight ends as consensus, just outside the top 12. So Harold Fannin is right now sitting for us at tight end 15, and Njoku's sitting at tight end 19. Kind of come back down to earth a little bit after the big start to the year for this Cleveland Brown tight end room. I do wonder what it looks like for the Browns with Dylan Gabriel as kind of the key cog in this offense now as we go into the regular season. Where it was, you go back to the preseason with the Cleveland Browns. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I think he played in that game against the Philadelphia Eagles where he attempted 18 passes for 143 yards through a pick. In that game, though, it was a bunch of non-players playing as far as week 2 goes for the Cleveland Browns in the preseason. Like, it wasn't a bunch of guys that he's going to be throwing the football to today. He had 19 pass attempts against the Rams, I think, in week 3 of the preseason. He threw a lot to Jamari Thrash and Gage Larvadan. This week, though, I mean, as far as the wide receiver position goes, the direction I'm looking in Cleveland right now, because there's no Cedric Tillman, is Isaiah Bond. And I've talked about Isaiah Bond the last couple of weeks on the Top 10 Thoughts show, and I wrote about him back in week 1 when I did a little matchups column. And I think the big thing here is the continued maturation and continued growth. And we've talked about this with multiple players in the past. I guess most notably, probably Jalen Hurts. Will you go back to Jalen Hurts at Alabama and then Oklahoma and then Philadelphia and then every year in the NFL until they won that Super Bowl last year? Every single year with Jalen Hurts has gotten better, right? And every single week for certain players when they get into a new situation or whatever, yada, yada, you get the vibe here. Isaiah Bond was once looked at as a first-round talent at the wide receiver position. He went to Texas from Alabama, had this blazing 23-mile-an-hour expected 4.3 speed, got banged up. Matthew Golden got the opportunity. Matthew Golden took off with that opportunity, became a first-round pick. Isaiah Bond, when the draft came around, people need to realize this. When the draft came around, Bond was predicted top 100, second round, third round, in that conversation. Had the speed. Yes, he promised he was going to run 4.2. Didn't do that, but he still ran 23 miles an hour in the 40, which was one of just two players to do that. Then the off-field stuff came up, and that made him basically untouchable. Then he goes to Cleveland, and everything's cleared up, and he kind of goes by the wayside. Not a roster watch nation, though. We talked about it. The ability for Isaiah Bond to be the number one wide receiver on the Cleveland Browns sooner than later. We talked about it on multiple shows throughout the preseason, talking about the Ultimate Draft cheat sheet, talking about Isaiah Bond and the opportunity that's at hand during the year for him to grow in to be the number one wide receiver for the Browns. And what have we seen from Isaiah Bond since he's gotten into the team? Again, he was paid guaranteed money, back end second, early third round money by the Browns. Week one, 23% routes. Week two, 39%. Week three, 58%. Week four, 71%. Fantasy points, 1.5, 2.5, 3.5, 9. Now, he's expected to take on a much bigger role in week five. Isaiah Bond's important here. Isaiah Bond could be not a league winner. I don't really generally think of wide receivers at least as league winners. But when I do think of a guy that was maturing on a roster with a lot of youth and not practicing with the first team for, you know, the last week of training camp and the first couple of weeks of the season, because that's where Judy and Tillman and Thrash were playing. Who's he on with the second team with Dylan Gabriel? The second team with Dylan Gabriel, Isaiah Bond, Dylan Gabriel, two rookies. I like that a lot, and I continue to like it, and I continue to think that he's going to get more and more opportunities, especially this week against the Minnesota Vikings in London, somewhere that's going to make Dylan Gabriel feel comfortable. Throwing the ball to Harold Fannin, David Njoku, running the ball with Quinshon Judkins, and throwing the ball to Isaiah Bond. So this week with Isaiah Bond, I'm going to be rather aggressive with where I rank Isaiah Bond. I'm not going to rank him into the top 12 or something crazy like that, but I do think this guy is going to be a top 36 option here in week five. All right, let's go on to one more game. Let's move on to, let's see, which one we got next? Houston, Baltimore, there's just so many injuries. We can talk about it for a minute. 75% of the bets are on the Baltimore Ravens at +2.5 at home. They're dogs, they're home dogs against Houston Texans. Again, this is a Cooper Rush situation with no Lamar Jackson. He's down with an injury this week. Here's the thing. This is a very interesting game for a multitude of reasons. One being they're both 1-3. Both these teams, Baltimore and the Houston Texans, are 1-3. I couldn't even begin to guess the last time that the Baltimore Ravens began a season 1-4. There's probably a Raven fan in the chat that could tell us, but losing to Buffalo, losing to Detroit, losing to Kansas City, they beat the brakes off the Browns. You beat the brakes off the Browns, the way Houston plays right now, I think you beat the brakes off Houston. They got the Rams next week. We are reasonably, according to Vegas, if Houston beats Baltimore in Baltimore, Baltimore could lose to the Rams next week and be 1-5 going into a bye. And they might not have Lamar next week. We're not sure. But here's what I do know. What I do know is in the history of Derrick Henry, Houston's a get-right game. Houston has always been a get-right game for Derrick Henry. 8 for 42 on the ground last week. That's not Derrick Henry-like. That's not big dog. That's not what we saw early in the year from Derrick Henry. 56% of the snaps in week one, 58% in week two, 52% in week three, 40% last week. One big game this year from Derrick Henry, 29 fantasy points in week one. Since then, 21 fantasy points total. You got Cooper Rush at quarterback, you're banged up, 25% of your roster is on the injury report. No Chidobe Awuzie, Kyle Hamilton's banged up. Marlon Humphrey's doubtful. Lamar Jackson's out. Patrick Ricard's out. Roquan Smith is out. Ronnie Stanley's banged up. Nate Wiggins is banged up. Everybody's banged up here except for the big dog. And I fully expect Derrick Henry to have his get back right here. I think if you look back, I had the statistic written down here. Where did it go here? Derrick Henry, in the last 9 games against the Houston Texans, again, 8 of them coming as a Tennessee Titan, he's at 125 yards in 6 of those 9 games. He's had over 200 yards in 4 of those 9 games. Every game that he goes over 20 touches, he gets to that 125-yard mark, does Derrick Henry. It's a good matchup. It's a good matchup, I think, for Baltimore and against the Houston Texans. Number 15 matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool at the running back position. Everything else, it's bottom 10 for quarterbacks, receivers, and tight ends. On the Houston side of the conversation, going against Baltimore, Baltimore has been susceptible in the run game this year so far. It's actually a top 5 matchup for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers in this game. The interesting thing, though, is that we've seen this split break off, and it's become now the Woody Marks show. And we've seen the footage from the sideline when Woody Marks had his big play last week. Joquivius Woody Marks from USC, the rookie, finally surpassed Nick Chubb in snaps this last week, 58% of the snaps to Nick Chubb's 40%, 52% of the rush attempts to Nick Chubb's 39%. That's the first time this year. Chubb was recently at 80% of the rush attempts, 60% of the rush attempts. Woody Marks exploded for 27.9 fantasy points in week 4. And I just look at this Baltimore defense that, again, has given up opportunities. More so maybe than you'd expect.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits, t-shirts that get it.
I was trying to pull something up here, and I was trying to look up the total yardage to running backs. I think Baltimore is at, I don't want to say it without saying it. Baltimore's 5th. Baltimore's 5th in total rushing yardage allowed to the running back position, and they're the most targeted defense to the running back position. Both of those things obviously benefit Woody Marks, who can catch the ball out of the back with 19% target share last week. I love Woody Marks this week. We love Woody Marks this week. Woody Marks right now is sitting as a top 24 option. And honestly, with as good a matchup as it is, you could make an argument to have him as a top 15, 16, especially with all the injuries right now. Like, he's really in this mosh of Rashad White, Kyron Williams, who played on Thursday Night Football, Alvin Kamara, who's got a good matchup, Scadaboo. Like, he's kind of in that, you know, right outside the RB1 territory is Woody Marks, and I think that you could make that argument. I think Woody Marks is set up for a great spot here against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, let's talk about let's go on to the Denver Bronco and the Philadelphia Eagle game. So 56% of the bets are on the Eagles. 41% of the money are on the Eagles. The Eagles are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Denver Broncos in this game. The total set at 43.5 in this Week 5 matchup. And as far as the injuries go for Denver and for Philadelphia, Denver's rather healthy. Nick Benito's banged up, but he got full practices in this week. The edge rusher, Quinn Miners, is sick. Did not practice on Thursday. We'll see what comes to fruition through Friday and Saturday with him. I imagine he's going to go unless he's completely dog sick because he's an offensive lineman. Marvin Mims dealing with a hip injury right now should continue to benefit Troy Franklin that we've talked about over the course of the year, and he's continued to grow into this bigger and bigger role. I was able to see the Philadelphia Eagles this last weekend against Tampa Bay in person, and man, oh man, that's a good football team. Tampa's also a really good football team, but I did like what I saw from Philadelphia. Jalen Carter got a full practice in on Thursday after being limited on Wednesday. That's really the biggest thing here. Dallas Goedert got back to a limited. He was DNP on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, and then his backup, Grant Calcaterra, got a DNP on Thursday. But I expect Dallas Goedert to go for the Philadelphia Eagles, who are sitting right now with the toughest matchup for quarterbacks, That's against the Denver Broncos. The third toughest matchup for wide receivers and the fourth toughest matchup for tight ends. The one glaring area of value, according to the Roster Watch matchup tool for Philadelphia, is the running back position, where, of course, you're going to see Saquon Barkley in his 22.75 touches per game, which is as good as it gets right now in the sport outside of Christian McCaffrey, who just miraculously is the last man standing in San Francisco. So shout out to Christian McCaffrey for that. But Saquon Barkley continuing to just be a guy that, you know, gets opportunities. And he's not playing to the same level that he was in 2024, but Saquon Barkley is still getting the job done for you. 18, 17, 17, 9 from a fantasy points perspective. Yes, we're seeing a little bit more A.J. Dillon. Will Shipley got healthy last week, but this is a game that Saquon Barkley should be able to make value outside in the receiving game as well. On the Denver side of things, it's a pretty similar matchup, tough for quarterbacks, receivers, and tight ends, but the running back position is showing a little bit of glaring opportunity, and last week we saw some of that come to fruition with J.K. Dobbins and with R.J. Harvey. Last week, J.K. Dobbins dropped down from 69% to 44% of snaps, 71% of rush attempts down to 50% of the rush attempts, still scored double-digit fantasy points. J.K. Dobbins did for the fourth consecutive week. Every week this year he's done so. R.J. Harvey, though, exploded into the double-digit category of fantasy points when he jumped from 27% of snaps to 41% of snaps and 14% of rush attempts up to 41%. He also still continues to get targets. Second week in a row, double-digit target share for R.J. Harvey, and him showing that explosion, finished as an RB1 last week in fantasy points scored. It's a good matchup for both R.J. Harvey and J.K. Dobbins. As far as the rankings going, where we have both these guys situated, Dobbins is right inside the running back two conversation, and Harvey is just in the middle of the RB3 conversation, right around running back 33, sitting around that Michael Carter and Chase Brown conversation. It's pretty gnarly how far we've seen Chase Brown's situation fall a little bit, though. I do like the Philadelphia Eagles in this game. This is not a game I'm willing to put into the Circa Millions contest that we have, that we're doing right now. I think the games that I've liked the most in that situation, not Philly. I'm pretty much feel good about fading the Philly-Denver game because these are both really good football teams. Giants-New Orleans, don't want to touch that. Don't want to touch any part of that. Yes, you could convince me both ways. Buffalo getting a 7.5 at home against New England. Sure, but New England showed me enough last week scoring 40 points against Carolina. Like I'm 50-50 on the Patriots right now. I'd like to see them play one more game. And then Dallas minus 2.5 at New York. That just feels like an energy dump. That just feels like an energy dump after that big get-up game against the Packers last week. That feels like a potential. Again, the Jets aren't good, but that feels like an energy dump from Dallas. That game could just be a slog. Dallas is a 2.5-point favorite at MetLife this weekend, 65% of the bets and 62% of the money on Dallas in that one. The other New York team that I talked about earlier, the Giants and New Orleans. New Orleans is 1.5-point favorites at home, 72% of the bets on the Giants, 69% of the money on the underdog New York Giants. At the wide receiver position, let's talk about this. Let's talk about Miami for a minute. I kind of wanted to skip this game, but we should talk about the Chuba Hubbard factor. I talked about it with Rico Dowdle and Trevor Etienne just for a minute earlier. But this game, to me, I think Miami's pretty bad. I think Miami's kind of garbage. And Carolina's 1.5-point dogs at home, catching 54% of the bets and 53% of the money the Carolina Panthers are. Kind of feels like a push of a game, and I'm pretty nervous about it. But I would lean Carolina here +1, +1.5. I think we're getting it at +1 on Circa. As far as the matchups go, Carolina is sitting in a juicy spot. We talked about it before. Number 2 matchup for quarterbacks, top 10 matchup for running backs, top 5 matchup for tight ends, and a good matchup for the wide receiver position. As far as the injury goes for the Carolina Panthers, we talked about Chuba Hubbard. I'm expecting Rico Dowdle to get that early down usage, according to Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer. And then the third down, the pass catching role should go to Trevor Etienne. I think the Etienne role can grow. I think Etienne can even take on the goal line opportunities. We saw him have success with that in college playing at Georgia. A couple of DNPs for Jatavion Sanders this week. Looks like he will not be back for this game. And then on the Miami side, of course, you have Tyreek Hill down this week and for the rest of the season, of course. Cedric Wilson, they did sign off the street. He's questionable with the knee injury. Double DNPs so far this week. And then Darren Waller dealing with a hip injury after his big fantasy performance in week four. He's got limited ins. I assume Darren Waller plays. Not going to be overly bullish on Darren Waller, though. Trash Man might be, but I'm not quite ready to push the chips into there. The one place I am willing to push the chips a little bit in is on Malik Washington. Malik Washington, the wide receiver by way of Virginia. Virginia, remember, this is a guy that had 144 receptions, not targets, receptions at Virginia just a couple of years ago. He was the leader in America in receptions, was Malik Washington. Last week, Malik Washington saw, again, 61% of the routes. He's been running the routes all year, 72, 62, 66, 61%. And then last week, again, we've continued to see him hit that double-digit target share perspective. I think Jalen Waddle takes a clear step up in this offense and this is kind of what you were hoping for from a trade perspective. We were hoping that Tyreek Hill would be traded, and then Jalen Waddle would get this number one opportunity. Injury happens. I wish nothing but the best for Tyreek, but this was the sort of situation you drafted Waddle for, was Miami's going to suck. Tyreek is going to get traded to Atlanta or Kansas City or wherever, and then Waddle's going to get the number one spot. So Jalen Waddle with a middling matchup against Carolina this week, the 19th ranked matchup on the Ross Welch matchup tool. Jalen Waddle bumps up to overall wide receiver 7 for myself. I'm a little more bullish than the team. I think Waddle's going to get absolutely peppered. 93% of routes last week, 89% the week before that. Target share crested 20% for the first time this year, last week. Before that, we've seen Tyreek Hill, 20% was his baseline. 23%, 30%, 25% for Tyreek Hill. I think this new Waddle set, I think Washington's going to be a good back end, middle to back end wide receiver 4. Waddle should be a clear wide receiver 1 with not quite a Garrett Wilson type target share, not quite a Jackson Smith and Jigba type sharp target share, but close. Like, I could 100% believe if you told me, I'll set the number at target share for Jalen Waddle this week at 31.5%. I might take the over. I mean, it's D. Eskridge. It's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. It's Darren Waller. The biggest winner, though, outside of Waddle, is 10,000-fold Devon Achane. Devon Achane target shares this year so far. Week 4 was a drop-down week. But his target shares earlier this year, 13%, 32%, 30%, 8%. Achane is going to be a big, big winner here. So at the wide receiver position, like I said before, Waddle is a top 10 option. Achane also a top 10 option. Achane's closer to being a top 5 option than probably Waddle is this week in this game. The big afternoon game that I'm looking forward to watching is not Detroit and Cincinnati, because Detroit is getting 81% of the bets and 88% of the money against the Cincinnati Bengals, who have gotten obliterated the last 2 weeks, 76-13 the last 2 weeks on the road for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're back home in Cincinnati as our first 10-point home dog, double-digit home dog of the year. That's usually a lights going off. Double-digit home dog is usually value in the betting space. I don't know if there's value here on Cincinnati. Cincinnati stinks. Jake Browning stinks. I'm worried about Cincinnati. 10 points for the Detroit Lions? I'm taking Detroit. And so is 88% of the money out there in the streets right now with this 49.5 total. That game might be legitimately 38-10, again, with a walking in the park against the Cincinnati Bengals. The game that I will say I'm looking most forward to this weekend is probably Tampa and Seattle. And I'll finish out with this. I know we've got a strong 30 so far. Again, if you got any questions, drop them in the comments here on YouTube or head over to rosterwatch.com. And you could drop questions in any of the posts, but mainly on Sunday in the Start Sit stream show and post. You can drop questions. We'll answer those questions. Tampa at Seattle. Big game here. Also, I forgot to mention, as far as Detroit and Cincinnati goes, all hands on deck on the Detroit side. You can play Montgomery, Gibbs. You should play Montgomery. This is home cooking for Montgomery. Gibbs, St. Brown, Laporta, like the whole nine yards this week for the Detroit Lions, all hands on deck. This game should be a splattering. On the other side for the Cincinnati Bengals, as far as the injuries go, I'll just finish with this with the Bengals side of things. I talked about the Justin Jefferson effect and Carson Wentz and that banged up offensive line, but it's almost been equally – It's about equal. I think it's about the same thing. So from a targets perspective this year, Chase and Jefferson. Chase is averaging 8.75 targets per game. Jefferson's averaged 7.75. Fantasy points is 15.25 for Jefferson, 14.3 for Jamar Chase. Everything's about equal here from a route perspective, targets scored perspective, air yard perspective. Everything's about similar for both of these guys. And they're just in tier three. Quarterback situation matters. Offensive line situation matters. They're just in tier three right now, unfortunately. Back to Tampa Bay and to the Seattle Seahawks. This one's in Seattle. Tampa traveling cross country. I think the only further matchup in the history of the sport that could happen would be Miami to Seattle. Instead, we're getting Tampa to Seattle. So Tampa's 3.5-point dogs, which is interesting because generally you get 3 points at home, so it's about a pick 'em on a neutral site, even though it doesn't happen in the NFL very often except for the Super Bowl and overseas. Seattle's 3-point favorites. 72% of the bets on Tampa, 66% of the money on the dog, that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what they did last week, and like I said, I was at that game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I was impressed with Tampa. Now, Bucky Irving's going to be banged up in this game. I get that. Rashad White should be the back that takes the carries, averaging 4.7 yards per carry so far this year. Has a touchdown. Bucky looked phenomenal out of the backfield. Did you know Bucky Irving is leading the Buccaneers in receptions this year? He's 19 for 19. 19 receptions on 19 targets for Bucky Irving. Emeka Egbuka is second with 18 receptions for 282 on 31 targets and, of course, 4 touchdowns. Egbuka what's not the love here? I think Abuka's going back home this week as well. I think Emeka Egbuka is from, I have to double check this. I swear I read this. Yeah, he's from Tacoma, Washington. So Emeka Egbuka's going back home as well and going back home to Seattle, where he's from, Tacoma, to play against former teammate Jaxon Smith-Njigba from the Seattle Seahawks, who leads the Seattle Seahawks in receiving as well. 26 receptions, 402, and a touchdown ahead of Cooper Kupp, who's having a good year. As far as the matchup goes on the Roster Watch matchup tool, it's a tough matchup across the board for quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers from the Tampa Bay side of the conversation. And for Seattle, it's a top 10 matchup for quarterbacks. It's a middling matchup for running back, receiver, and tight end. As far as this game goes at the wide receiver position, we just talked about it with Tampa Bay and Seattle. Jaxon Smith-Njigba sits inside the top 12. Chris Godwin. That's been my biggest play this week, is bumping Chris Godwin up. I am giving all the respect in the world to Chris Godwin. Maybe it's because I saw him in person, and here's my biggest takeaway. I talked about this on the Monday Top 10 Thoughts show. Godwin's back. Godwin is more back than A.J. Brown is good at this current stage of the game right now. A.J. Brown, and it might be an effort thing, but I think it's more of a – he seems more injured than anything. A.J. Brown does. He couldn't separate from himself on Sunday against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay does not have daunting defensive backs. I love Antoine Winfield, but they don't have daunting defensive backs that should be able to take A.J. Brown out of a game. Devonta Smith had a big catch on the sideline. He didn't have a great game. Dallas Goedert had a good game. But Chris Godwin created separation at will during that game last week, and he was targeted more than I thought. I didn't look at the box score on Sunday after that game. I just was watching, and I was like, man, they keep throwing to Godwin. But the problem is it was like pass interference, no call, holding, no call, big catch, 35 yards down the left sideline, 1 foot out of bounds. He was this close a number of times. And the last time we talked about a situation like that, it was the Green Bay Packers about a month ago. maybe not a month ago, maybe 2.5, maybe 3 weeks ago with Matthew Golden. Remember that game? Matthew Golden should have had, I think it was a Monday night game. Matthew Golden should have had 2 for 132 and 2 from Jordan Love, but Jordan Love decided that he just, his timing was horrible that week. Instead, Golden ended up with 1.5 fantasy points. The next 2 weeks, 10, 11 fantasy points, 84% of the routes, 72% of the routes. And Golden has continued to grow into his role as a rookie. That's not the deal here, though. Baker Mayfield has been a quarterback for Tampa Bay with Chris Godwin for the last couple of years, not weeks like Golden and Love, years. And so that connection is established. He's been practicing 91% of the routes off the bat for Chris Godwin. Off the bat. Only scored 5 fantasy points, I get it. But he had 26% target share. Chris Godwin's back. And Chris Godwin, if you got about 24 to 48 hours to go get Chris Godwin, because I promise you, this situation this weekend, it's got Chris Godwin written all over it, and your boy has him as the wide receiver 11 on the week. I'm going wide receiver 1 this week. He's finished in the top 12. Chris Godwin is against the Seattle Seahawks. Emeka Igbuka is just outside the wide receiver 1 territory in the top 20, and then Cooper Kupp sits just outside the top 30 at wide receiver 31 overall this week. At the running back position, for those that are interested in the Rashad White, Sean Tucker split here, have both of them sitting as running back 2s. Rashad White, going to be more of a floor play here. I believe he's going to get the bulk of the touches. Sean Tucker, though, we've seen the abilities that he can have if they lean into him. He had RB1 week last year. RB1 overall in the week. He was the guy. He can do it. Not a great matchup. Bottom 10 matchup against the Seattle defensive line. Byron Murphy, Jaron Reed. Like, it's a good defensive line. But I like Sean Tucker. I got him as running back 24 this week, right around the Rico Dowdles, the Zach Charbonnets of the world. That's it. That's all. For any more from Roster Watch Nation, please go over to rosterwatch.com, become a pro or a premium member. You can get all the tools at rosterwatch.com, including the ultimate draft, ultimate matchup tool over at rosterwatch.com. You can see the Las Vegas tool where you can get all the values for DFS, our highest projected players this week. Puka Nacua, who played on Thursday Night Football, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor this weekend. Of course, we talked about Devon Achane and some of the best value plays. We have a value tool inside of that Vegas tool where you can sort by value, projection, the odds to score a touchdown, their bonuses, their yardages, salaries on DraftKings and FanDuel. You can toggle between them. It's a very useful tool over at rosterwatch.com in the premium and the pro section. The DFS tools will be up this weekend. The ultimate DFS cheat sheets will be up this weekend, like I said, and much more over at rosterwatch.com, including the start sit stream on Sunday at 8:45 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be live here on the Roster Watch YouTube channel. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. I'm Cody Carpentier on behalf of Roster Watch Nation. It's week 5. Go trade for Chris Godwin. Don't forget to set your lineups because there's so many injuries at the running back position. And have some damn fun, baby. Have some fun and enjoy it because the season feels like it's already a third of the way over.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.